Well, welcome back. Les Carroll is the general manager. Richard Dugan screens your calls and orchestrates the music. And I, Mark Schneidman, am my client's realtor. So, hi. So we're back, and we're joining me in this segment, a public relations officer with, he's a mobile home expert because he talks about Caltrans. Couldn't get more mobile than that, the Freeway 101. And welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Jim Shivers.
Hey, Mark, it's good to be back with you.
You know, you were correct. The last time we spoke was 2008, because I had some figures you gave me about the Cold Spring Bridge, and it was something like the last 25 years. It was built in 63. Oh, no, that doesn't add up. 73. We must have just gone. Well, forget that. How you doing? Welcome back.
I'm doing great. I'm looking out the window here in San Luis Obispo watching the rain continue to fall, but it's been quite a storm, and things on the local highways appear to be in pretty good shape so far.
I drove down exiting 101 South, entering 101 South at Turnpike, and all that nice, brand-new asphalt, smooth. I noticed a little puddle, though. I was wondering if you could check that out for me.
Oh, we will be happy to check that out. You know, we've had a lot of interest and a lot of phone calls about that section of Highway 101 from Milpas to Goleta, and we're just really pleased about the project to pave that stretch of highway. It's a much improved ride, and we think that it certainly is a great benefit to the public.
You know, we forget, because all we really care about is the stretch of highway from Goleta to Carpinteria, and we forget that you're covering what is called District 5, and what area does that encompass?
Right. You know, District 5 is a five-county area. It starts at the county line between Santa Barbara and Ventura counties. It moves north through San Luis Obispo County, continues up to Monterey County, all the way to Santa Cruz County and all of San Benito County. So it's a pretty huge chunk of the Central Coast. We would be responsible for all of the state highways. So it's essentially Highway 101 from the Ventura-Santa Barbara County line all the way up to Highway 101, Highway 1 and 17 up in Santa Cruz County.
Now, I came to Santa Barbara in 1977. We still had the traffic lights, and I actually got a ticket for making a left turn lane off at the red light after it turned green. I was not in the left lane. I was in the freeway lane, and a cop actually pulled me over and gave me a ticket. One of only, I think, two tickets in 40 years or so. So when did you get to town and get involved in Caltrans?
Boy, you know, coming up this February, it'll be 5 years. I'm really enjoying the job very much. I was just talking to a local news director a few moments ago, and I had been in local radio back in the 1980s. So I had this 10-year stretch of you know, basically doing the news and talk shows and sportscasting and that sort of thing.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, you're fitting right in. You're fitting right in. So everyone loves the new paving. And by the way, you know the little reflector, what do you call them, that divide the lanes?
Well, they're known as reflectors, or in the trade they're called box dots. And they basically
box stops?
Delineate box dot, B-O-X-D-O-T is what they're called.
Oh, box dots. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So right now, after you've paved, there's something there, but they're not in yet, right?
Right. We did a job on Friday, and I should point out that we will do a permanent striping of that stretch of 101 from Patterson to Milpas, but the rain last week interrupted the striping operation. We couldn't leave the lanes without any marking whatsoever, including the shoulder and the center median. So what we did on Friday, late afternoon into early Saturday morning, was to basically take a high-temperature blast a section of the roadway, put down a reflector we were able to complete that. And again, when the weather becomes more favorable, the idea is to go back out and do a more permanent striping.
So you kind of have like a hot glue gun, a hot spike that kind of shoots it in?
That's basically what it is. It puts down like an epoxy or a glue. The reflector then goes down. And we can't have a situation where, especially with the rainy conditions, where motorists can't decipher what lane they're in, where the freeway ends, where the shoulder begins and ends, and then we've got the center median and the concrete. So it was a very important job Friday to go in and put this temporary marking down.
Very good. Where the freeway ends. It sounds like a soap opera. Oh, no, that was The World Turns, Where the World Turns. So everyone loves, I'm saying everybody loves the three lanes. We got the three lanes that are kind of opened prior to southbound, maybe northbound too, on almost both sides of the Milpas Bridge, the overpass going over Milpas, I should say. And it's thrilling, and maybe I can go downtown on a Friday night at 5 o'clock from let's say, La Cumbra heading south and exit, let's say, at Castillo, mm-hmm. or maybe even Milpas. Well, no, I wouldn't be getting at least Castillo, and maybe not get hit with the killer traffic because it's just going to kind of move it down a little further south. So I know you're not the Milpas guy, but do you have an idea of when that, you know, all three lanes over that Milpas overpass will be complete?
Boy, I was talking to our public relations liaison, and she said that it would be soon. But, you know, looking at the latest announcement that came out in regard to that Milpas Street Bridge, we're still working on the new bridge deck, some form removal, temporary supports, and that should be taking place over the next 2 weeks. So, you know, we're making steady progress on this project. When it is completed,
maybe January of 2011, sometime in January, or maybe February.
We're still looking at, I think, roughly another year of construction to take place. It's a four-year project, and we're not there yet. It's again a huge project, given the tight corridor.
Yeah,
in that area, but I would say that we're, you know, in some places we've been well ahead of schedule.
Yeah, to me, it shot along. But I drive by that bridge, and I could see what you mean about the forms and completing the what did you call it? Not the platform. What did you call it?
They're temporary
deck?
Support
deck. Mm-hmm. But it looks like you kind of close when you said a year. Did you mean a year before we have three lanes going over Milpas?
Well, roughly a year until the project is complete is what we're looking at. But in talking to our liaison the other day, Kirsten Ayers, what she said is that the final stages of the project will be 2012, and so there's a lot to do between now and 2012.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, so let's maybe go to three lanes and then these carpool lanes. What's the story? You always hear about carpool lanes down in Los Angeles. How close are they going to be to Santa Barbara, these proposed carpool lanes?
You know, pretty close. We're looking at Caltrans District 5 is looking right now, and it's a project that is moving through the system, a 10-mile, what we call high-occupancy vehicle / carpool lane. It would be begin south of Carpinteria Creek in Carpinteria to Sycamore Creek just east of Milpas in the city of Santa Barbara. This would be an additional lane in each direction. We anticipate construction to begin in 2015. We're looking at public meetings according to the schedule in the fall of 2011. So we're proposing a 10-mile carpool lane project. And then District 7, which is headquarters...
Wait. Can I interrupt you, Jim?
Sure.
So a 10-mile stretch just south of Milpas to, you said, Carpenter Creek. What do you know, an exit that's near?
I think it probably would be easier to say, basically from Santa Barbara to Carpenteria, we're looking at a 10-mile
stretch
project.
So that means that the current third lane that's open just south of the Milpa Street that goes to, what, Olive Mill Lane right now? Is there a third lane there now? That wouldn't be, that would convert to, potentially convert to a carpool lane.
Correct. The project would add one new lane in each direction, and it would result in a six-lane freeway within the project limits.
Hmm.
There's discussion that they would be for carpoolers only during the morning and afternoon commute, and then they would be the lanes would be available to everyone the rest of the time.
And so this is open for discussion?
Well, it's open for discussion. It is, again, there will be public meetings in the fall of next year. That will correspond with the release of the draft environmental document, which we hope to get out in the summer or fall of next year.
Hmm. Well, it kind of puts a little damper on my excitement for all those lanes, but
well,
being that I'm not married, I'm a single guy, I'm not dating a whole lot, I'm in my car alone a lot. Gosh.
Well, Mark, I think, again, I think a lot of folks are commuting, you know, into Santa Barbara each day, and the project will make it a lot easier for the many people that wish to carpool into Santa Barbara and points beyond. The project also allows for the continued growth that we see in the region, and these lanes, when built, we think will, again, ease congestion, increase mobility, and basically make it easier for everyone to get from place to place.
Well, I suppose, talking with Jim Shivers, he's the Caltrans Public Relations Officer or Information Officer for District 5, which covers our county here, the South Coast. And I suppose if, you know, there's probably quite a mix of cars, and there's plenty of cars with more than one person that'll just maybe move into that lane, and so it'll probably just distribute. As long as we have the three lanes in each direction, I'm sure it'll work. And if, by chance, I would be on the lookout for a huge increase in the sale of mannequins prior to opening that, you might catch some people who were trying to get away with something.
Well, we'll leave that to our friends in law enforcement. And I think one more thing, Mark, is that with three lanes, if you think about a lane closure under the current two lanes, and imagine the backup, and with that extra lane, you can have one lane closed, two other lanes still available, room for emergency vehicles to get through. So, again, the public will have plenty of opportunity to chime in on the project when we have those public meetings.
You know, when you said something like that, it made me think, won't have any ability to, when there's heavy traffic going south or heavy traffic going north, you won't have the ability to kind of add, to switch it, like four lanes one way and two lanes the other way?
No, because we expect that there'll be a divided, it would be a divided highway with a fixed concrete median in between.
Right. Yeah. You'd need like some bonus lane in the middle, which would, of course, make it look like L.A. There'd be no median, no divider, no shrubbery. So that wouldn't work. Jim Shivers, Public Information Officer, Caltrans. So here's a topic that's kind of grim, but it's something that you're involved with, and we talked about it a couple years ago when you were on the program. And that's the Cold Springs Bridge. What are they calling it? The protection fence? What are they calling it?
It's a project to build a suicide barrier.
A barrier.
On the Cold Spring Bridge.
Right, the barrier. And I think when you were on, what I had wrote down here, I have the original page paper, I think you said from 1963, 44 people had died. And then from 1983 on, there were 31 people died. And somehow I had something, I wrote down something about the last 25 years back in 08. So I don't know, are those numbers gone up a little bit in the last 2 years?
Yeah, I think when we last talked, the numbers were 31 deaths in 25 years. And I think the total number of deaths today is somewhere over 50. I want to say 54, I believe the number.
Really? Because I had 44. Well, we didn't have that many in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think 10. last year, or I'm trying to remember, I think there have been at least 8 within the past year and a half.
Well, there you
go.
We've seen
the number go up in the past 18 months.
Now, it's I wonder how that number, and you mentioned to say during a 25-year period there were 31 people, and now it's increased, you know, much more from when it was the first, say, 20 years that it was built. But I wonder, does anyone studied how that compares to a national average? Has suicide either in California or, you know, maybe certain areas of the country that maybe have a, you know, high prices or low job or something. Is there any mirror compared to some kind of average, or is this really an extraordinary jump?
I'm not sure of any average and how it compares. We do know that this bridge in this location has experienced more fatalities than any other location in the five-county District 5. So with that said, when we look at a history of fatalities in a single location, we then look to make or have a project that will prevent that loss of life.
Right. Well, but that's just within your district. I mean, because that is a huge, tall bridge, and you know it's kind of unique, I guess, for your five counties.
Well, yes, and it's it's a very unique structure. You know, you think of the bridges along Highway 1 and Big Sur, but this is it's a steel bridge, and that makes it unique. It's a great access way for people to get into Santa Barbara from on the Santa Maria side and Santa Ynez Valley. So, we see this project as a way to prevent people from jumping off this bridge.
Now, here we are, December 2010. Where are we at with this project in terms of moving forward, people opposing it? Where are we at?
Well, the issue did end up in court. Santa Barbara Court earlier this year. The judge's ruling was that we release what is called a draft supplemental environmental impact report. It was the court's view that we needed to present more information to the public, specifically on the aesthetics of this project and historical cultural impacts on the project. So this new draft document is now available for people to review. It's also online.
Okay.
But we'll have a public meeting coming up January 5th in Santa Barbara, and that'll be at San Marcos High School.
But what do you see as the ending for public input? When can it, you know, can a decision be made? Can it start?
Well, not just yet. There'll be a written comment period and public comment period through January 24th. Once we incorporate those comments into this document, our intent is to go back to the court and say, this is what we've done, this is what you have asked us to do, we have met that, and now we would like to proceed with the project. Now, this project was already under construction earlier this year.
Oh.
But it was the legal action of those against the project which took the matter to court and a subsequent termination of the construction. So what, the project was,
right.
was started, but it had to stop.
So, and we don't know how it's going to end up. We're kind of up against the clock. Jim Shivers, Public Information Officer, I just want to ask you a couple of quick questions, but we're really running out of time, Jim. What's the cost, and how does that cost compare? Well, of course, if you compare it to the cost of three lanes and all this, but for the amount of real estate, which is a small, short stretch there, what is the cost, and how does it compare to the cost of other jobs?
Well, certainly there are large transportation projects that will cost hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, but I'm saying relative to the space and size of the scope of the job.
You know, we don't really look at it in terms of space and scope. We look at how do we make something safer? And there's no sliding financial scale as to so many dollars for this project, and does it go over this limit? We look at one thing. Can we make a location safer
sure.
for the public?
Sure.
And we're not driven by dollars. We're driven by safety.
I didn't mean, you know, by asking the question, I wasn't trying to put a moral judgment or something or a financial number on a life. In fact, there was a recent letter to the editor where someone wrote in and said, whatever the cost, he threw out a number. I don't know if it was $2 million. And he said, even if it saves one life, you know, that is fine. So I was just kind of curious to know, what is the cost?
The last numbers I heard before the court case was in the neighborhood of about $3 million.
Okay. Oh, that was so. He was pretty close. Well, be curious to see how that goes. And Jim Shivers, Public Information Officer, Caltrans covers District 5, which includes us on the South Coast. I know you guys are getting hit with the rains, and we get back to work out there. We appreciate your time and all you do.
Thank you. Good talking to you.
All right, Jim.
Stay dry.
Thanks. Thanks. Bye bye. Okay, Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. We'll take a quick break and come back with the third segment. We've got some discussion here on the median versus average price from Ask Marilyn, going back to August 10th, 2008. Don't go anywhere unless you're driving.